Well, we hear Jesus talking to his apostles the night before he goes to his death at the Last Supper, sharing with them that he has prepared many, places for them in heaven if they but follow after him, follow him who is the way, the truth, and the life, as he tells them after Thomas asked the question, how do we get there? And then it's interesting that Philip asked the question about, after Jesus says that basically he is showing them the Father, basically Philip is wondering about this, and Jesus says, have I not been with you so long, Philip, and you don't recognize that I am actually in body? And he didn't say this precisely, but he basically says, I am body of the Father. I have spoken the words of the Father, and I have done the works of the Father. And Jesus, of course, we're mindful about how Jesus is the image of the invisible God. So that's one of the things, about Jesus. He actually embodies God in his person, becoming man. So this is the first thing, to acknowledge that Jesus embodies the invisible God in his person. And certainly becoming man, he shows us what all of us are called to follow in his footsteps. And you think about Jesus' life. He lived pretty much a very simple life. He was in Nazareth for most of his life. He was a carpenter or a tradesperson. We're not sure. I guess Joseph, they say, is a carpenter. But he was doing that kind of work for a good number of years. He lived with Mary and Joseph, and then when Joseph died, he was with Mary. But he didn't start his public ministry until he was 30. So he was, it seemed, living a very simple life, ordinary, of course, he's God, but a simple life. And I think, that's one of the things for us to be mindful about. We're called to be followers of Jesus, to really follow in his ways. And so in our own lives, in our own way, each one of us has a unique path. How are we living our lives like Christ? Sometimes we underestimate the importance of our daily lives and what we're doing. Whether we're, a parent or a son or daughter or wherever we're at, however we're living, to really make the most of each and every day, each and every hour, to not underestimate how important living our lives is, and sometimes, we have these grand oath ideas like, I'm going to be a saint if I just were doing this. We're all called to sainthood where we're at in our lives. That's where we're called to be a saint. To live great with great love. St. Teresa of Lisieux said, live with great love. Do the little things with great love. We don't have to go searching to do things to be a saint. It's like they're right in front of us. Jesus shows us that. Another thing that Jesus shows us, and that is Jesus suffered greatly. We suffer in our own ways in our lives. But the Father gave us his only begotten Son. And Jesus suffered greatly. Just think, Mary was there at the foot of the cross, and it would certainly be hard to see your own son be killed as harshly as Jesus was. Just a horrible, horrible death. But God the Father, his only begotten Son, having that happen to him, allowing that to happen. What a great and loving Father we have, who gave his only Son to save us. It's just a reminder about God's, the Father's love for us. Jesus personifies that love in his person. He lives it out. He shows it to us. What a great Father that we have. Sometimes we can dismiss the Father as like maybe a domineering kind of person. No, our Father loves us tremendously. And then another thing Jesus talks about, that he has spoken the word of the Father. Now remember John's gospel, the very beginning, the word was and the word became flesh. Jesus is the word of the Father. When the Father speaks, it's actually a person, it's Christ. So Jesus tells us, he speaks the truth to us. He shares what God the Father wants of us. And certainly he has come to fulfill the scriptures, really shows us and explains the scriptures, encourages us, challenges us. Now, he challenges the status quo, but he also encourages us, encourages those in his time. Again, the Father wants all of us to be saved. That's what we want. That's what we're made for. We're made for God. We're made to be with our Father. We're called to be adopted sons and daughters. And Jesus shows us the way, surely, but also tells us the way, instructs us. And so it's one of these things, you know, it's like, you know, as followers of Jesus, just like, you know, I want to know more about what Jesus taught. I want to understand more about the scriptures and what Jesus shared. I want to know more. I want to understand. I want to follow his ways more or better in my life. Yeah, have that kind of desire. You know, some people have the attitude, well, I'm just trying to get by and just do bare minimum. No, it's like, we want to follow every single detail that Jesus shared with us. Every single detail. Certainly Jesus speaks through his church. Yeah, I want to follow everything. Well, not just this or that, but everything that Jesus taught. Have a desire. That's important. I want to follow what the Father has shared with us. You know, God the Father isn't up there just putting all kinds of rules and regulations to make us drudge along in life. Yeah. He wants us to follow things, and there's a reason, you know, to follow. I mean, that's one of the things, you know, about the human condition. Is the human condition, you know, it's so easy to get off course. And it doesn't happen suddenly. It usually is gradually. So that's why we really stay on course, stay on track. The other thing Jesus mentions and does is he says he does the works of the Father. It's like, here's the Father, and Jesus is basically just doing everything that the Father wills. That's what he did. Jesus did the will of the Father perfectly. Remember on Mount Tabor when the transfiguration happened, the Father says, this is my beloved Son, listen to him. This is my Son with whom I am well pleased. Another point in Scripture, God says that, God the Father says that. Jesus did the will of the Father perfectly. He did the works of the Father. That's one of the things, you know, Jesus did, you know, he did healings. He did miraculous healings. He certainly forgave sins, worked miracles. You know, why would he do that? Well, it's really in part to encourage us to really say and acknowledge God really is God. God is Father. You remember in the Old Testament when the Israelites were in Egypt and all the great wonders that God worked there and with the plagues and the parting of the Red Sea and the feeding in the desert and all the things that happened. It's just like, and we hear him in the psalm. It's like, do you remember my chosen people, what I have done, the power that I have? You can have trust in me. If you don't believe in me, believe my works. Jesus says that to the Jews. He's just like, hey, I've come here to show you in part that I'm powerful. I'm your God. I made you. I created you. Follow me. Listen to me. And then allow me, this is one of the important parts, allow me to heal you. You know, God can't force himself on us. He can't force forgiveness to us. He can't force healing on us. We have to ask for it. You know, and the great healing works that God has left us in his church are the sacraments. Sacraments are great things. You know, do we really understand? You know, God certainly, Jesus worked miracles, but remember when he forgave sins, that's even more spectacular than, you know, curing the paralytic of his disease. Spiritually healing. We don't know, we don't see it, but what happens? It's just phenomenal what happens. You know, and God left us the sacraments to help us, or actually encounters with the Lord to help us, to heal us, to strengthen us, to enlighten us and encourage us. And so that's one of the things, you know, come to the sacraments. Yeah. Sacrament of confession. That's why we're, you know, in part we're here at Mass. You know, every week it's just like to be strengthened and helped and nourished and healed. And we don't recognize it or realize, you know, it's just like, oh, I'm going to Mass and no big deal. It is a big deal. We're being helped. We're being strengthened, whether we know it or not. And, you know, we can say, well, I don't really need it. We do need it. We do need the help of God. We need the strength of God. We need the grace of God to persevere in the faith. So it's really important, you know. So God has left us his works. And it's interesting that Jesus says at the very end, you know, you will do greater things than these. And now you think about that. You know, Jesus was God. And, you know, it's kind of like, he's God, so yeah, he works miracles. Now, God can work through us. But when he works through us, it's like, it actually acknowledges that I'm not God. It's really God who's doing whatever. Remember Peter, when he healed in the name of Jesus, I command you to get up and walk. Peter healed that cripple in the temple area. It's like Peter acknowledged it was the Lord who was healing. So this is what we're called to do. We're called to do the works of the Father through us. And it really gives God, the Father, glory and honor and praise. So just Jesus, again, reminding us that he has shown us the Father. He embodies the Father. He has spoken the words of the Father, done the works of the Father, and he calls us to follow in his ways, follow in his footsteps, to follow the Father in our own lives, to embody, be Christians, to be images of Christ, to speak the words of the Father and do his works.